Welcome back to This Week with Mary Regan and Angus Cox. Now, a Russian strike today on a residential building in Ukraine's second largest city of Kharkiv has killed two people and injured 50 more. Russia has stepped up attacks in northeastern Ukraine after launching a new offensive there last month, seeking to break a largely static front line as the Russian invasion grinds through its third year. It comes as the Russian president this week went on a diplomatic tour in Asia, visiting China, North Korea and Vietnam. And while in North Korea, Vladimir Putin signed a defence pact with its leader Kim Jong-un that pledges assistance if either country faces foreign aggression. How significant is it that Russia is again strengthening its ties in the East? Let's get some analysis with Donika O'Bakon, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. Thanks for joining us, Donika O'Bakon. With this new pact with North Korea, a nuclear-capable country, is Russia again raising the stakes with the West over Ukraine?
Yes, it is. But it's, I think, by far and away, the biggest takeaway is that it's a transactional relationship, and it's one that's born from Russia's desperation now for more weapons. I mean, this is the first trip that Vladimir Putin has made to North Korea in a quarter century. The last time he visited, Kim Jong-un was just a teenager and his father was in power. And, you know, essentially, Russia needs more ammunition. And during the last year, North Korea has provided 5 million rounds, according to many estimates, which is keeping Russia in the war. It's certainly not matched by Western assistance to Ukraine. And as you mentioned, it's not an isolated visit. I mean, he's visited also Vietnam. Most countries in the world, Vladimir Putin can't visit these days because of that warrant for his arrest by the International Criminal Court. So this is also about signaling that he's not completely isolated in the world. He does have maybe not friends, but certainly he has people that are willing to meet him. And this also is something that North Korea needs. North Korea is one of the poorest countries on earth. It can't feed its people, but it is a dictatorship. So it does prioritize weapons and it does have a nuclear program. So it has sent out dangerous signals, particularly to South Korea, which doesn't have a nuclear program and therefore is particularly anxious about any talk of assistance to North Korea, which might facilitate its nuclear weapons program.
And how significant is it that North Korea, which is a country that's been largely isolated now for a long time, suddenly has such close ties and access to Russia, who a permanent member of the UN Security Council?
Well, it's very significant because up until recently, there were very stringent sanctions being imposed on North Korea and being monitored by the United Nations, and they were supported at the United Nations Security Council by China, by Russia. But we've seen Russia now walk away from the monitoring of those sanctions, and that's a clear victory for North Korea, but it's a clear defeat for those who are worried about nuclear proliferation. And so it's important in that level, and it's also important, as I said, in terms of the transactional nature of that relationship and the supplies that North Korea can receive in terms of money and grain and technology, and Russia receiving ammunition.
We are well over 2 years into Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We're very much at a stalemate situation at the moment. What do you think is Vladimir Putin's long-term plan? Is he playing the long game on Ukraine, hoping that the Western democracies slowly tire of giving ongoing support for Ukraine as the war drags on?
Absolutely, I think that's his plan. And again, it's a luxury that dictatorships have because they don't have to pander to democratic electorates. So Putin is encouraged by any sign of wavering of international support for Ukraine. His opinion of democracies generally is that they're weak and divided, and he tries to play one off against the other. He's particularly hopeful in terms of the American election. He would very much like to see Donald Trump return to the presidency because, of course, Donald Trump is lukewarm on the idea of NATO and European security. So it's in Putin's interest to play this longer game. And as I said, by reaching out to authoritarian states who have some weapons to give, be they North Korea or Iran, he's hoping that this will be the ultimate game changer in his war of aggression against Ukraine. Now, he did give some indication of what kind of final settlement he's willing to embrace, and it shows that he's just simply doubling down and still retains this maximalist position. So he's saying that before talks could even take place, that Ukraine would have to withdraw from the five regions that in Ukraine which Russia claims as its own. And indeed, they don't even have control of a lot of the territory that they're claiming. and they'd have to demilitarize, they'd have to denazify in his own terms, and of course sanctions would have to be lifted against Russia. So it's an extraordinary wish list which he's still retaining, and it comes just within days of the summit that Vladimir Zelensky called in Switzerland, which over 100 countries attended, including Ireland, and Taoiseach was there, and they signed up to a peace plan which more or less says that peace can only be based on respect for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. So there isn't a meeting point really for diplomatic negotiations right now. And that's very much because of Vladimir Putin's belief that time is on his side, and again, reaching out to North Korea, that he has a more reliable weapon supply than Ukraine has. And ultimately, both sides, I think, are of the belief that whatever peace settlement does emerge at the end, it will reflect the realities on the battlefield. And that's why, again, Russia's in North Korea this week.
And finally and briefly, one of the comments that struck me from Vladimir Putin when announcing this deal with North Korea, he said it's a response to NATO allies providing Ukraine with the weaponry to attack Russia. But he bluntly said Moscow has nothing to lose and is prepared to go to the end to achieve its goals in Ukraine. How far do you think he's prepared to go?
I certainly rhetorically, he's been saying that kind of rhetoric from the very beginning. So that bluff has been called many times. Ultimately, you know, if Ukraine is defeated in Russia, if Russia is defeated in Ukraine, it will send a very positive signal about respect for international law, upholding the values of the UN Charter. If the reverse happens and Russia wins, it completely undermines the international order, and it leaves an emboldened and strengthened Putin in power. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw last year how fragile indeed Putin's grasp of power is when Prigozhin rebelled, and of course nobody came to Putin's defense. So defeat in, and Putin realizes this, defeat in Ukraine, Putin's regime hinges on it. Okay. And that's why he will fight, you know, extraordinarily tough until the end, until he's defeated.
Okay, I'm sure we'll be coming back to this story again and again. For the moment, Donico back on, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We'll be back shortly with more.